In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you may wonder why it is that after having celebrated Pascha, that last week we moved on to another resurrection appearance of Jesus to the 11 and to Thomas, and how it is that now we're moving backward to Good Friday. We're reading again the account of what happened with Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, and how they took him down from the cross and put him in the tomb, and then the myrrh-bearing women early in the morning on the Sunday went to the tomb, and how they found the angel sitting on the stone. I don't know if you took notice of that when you walked in, but the icon that we have of the angel sitting on the tomb is back here. And I'd like to point out, when I get to that point in the sermon, how he is sitting. Well, we might wonder then, why is it that the church has us go back to Good Friday and to review what events happened here? It would help us to understand, I believe, what is happening here with the church and having us do this, if we had recognized the fact that at that time in the early church, baptisms were done on Pascha. And those who were brought into the faith had been catechized for some time up to that point, and now their catechism continues on and comes to a close. But the catechism continues, the teaching of what does it mean to be a part of this body of Christ that we call the church, and what are lessons that we need to learn as Christians as we take the name of Christ and follow him in this world. Well, I believe that the message that the church would have us learn from these events is that the Christian faith must take the form of courage. It must take the form of courage. Did you notice that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus were both very highly respected people and members of the Jewish ruling party, the Sanhedrin? I don't know if you remember this, but Nicodemus was the one who in John chapter 3 is said to be one who came to Jesus by night. He was a little afraid. He came to Jesus by night. And it says that he was a secret disciple of the Lord. Joseph of Arimathea is also said to be one who was a part of the ruling council, the Sanhedrin. They had not made a public profession of faith in Christ. They didn't have the courage they needed. They weren't bold to stand up for the Lord. But what's interesting is that when Jesus dies, in the darkest hour of what we would call the Christian faith, the disciples just couldn't believe. They had put their hope in Jesus. We had hoped, they said, that he was the one to redeem Israel. But it was at this darkest hour that Joseph of Arimathea, our text says, took courage. Some translations say he boldly went before Pilate. And he took Nicodemus with him, both of them. At this point, they took courage. And if they, at this darkest hour in the life of Christ, could take courage and take a public stand and pay the price for it, we certainly need to learn that same courage and boldness. Secondly, I'd like you to notice with me the myrrh-bearing women. They can also teach us what it means for us to be bold in the faith. The myrrh-bearing women, you'll notice in our passage, did three things. First, they witnessed the death of Jesus. They were there when Christ died on the cross and was crucified in chapter 15, verse 40. They also witnessed his burial. They knew exactly where the body of Jesus was laid. Thirdly, they witnessed his resurrection. They're important people in encouraging us to be bold for Christ. And how would that be? Because they were witnesses. Can we trust that Jesus really died? Yes, they were there. Well, why is it then that if he died, why can't they find where he was buried? And they will say, we saw where he was buried, and we know he was buried. But the tomb is empty. They witnessed his resurrection. So it's a courage that we have that's based on reality, on fact. They saw where Jesus' body was laid, and that was an important part of their apostolic eyewitness to his death and resurrection. The empty tomb was part of the apostolic preaching. In Acts, in Peter's Pentecostal sermon, he refers to that as the tomb is empty. And this is possible only because they could say with assurance which tomb the body of Jesus had been laid in. The removal of the stone, accompanied by an earthquake and the angels, suggests that in all respects the resurrection of Jesus is entirely the work of God. The human role in the resurrection of Jesus is that of witness, not worker. So, we might hear many kinds of explanations today, and I certainly have read them by people who call themselves Christians from different traditions, who would say that Jesus didn't really bodily die and rise, but that he is with us spiritually, that he arose, and it was just an amazing kind of faith that was born in the apostles and the church, so that they gave expression to that faith in the most beautiful way they could, and that was to say, he arose. And of course, these liberals would say, he arose spiritually, he lives. He lives in my heart. He lives in your heart. But, oh, come on, let's not push this too far. Let's understand that the language used here is that of a kind of a mythical language, that it expresses some wonderful, great feelings we have. It expresses our faith in the presence of God spiritually and the presence of Jesus in our lives. But just as we like to take a lion and tame it down and domesticate it, so the liberals, so many people today want to make our faith something that's tame, something that's not going to offend people. And so they take the sting out of it. They take the power out of it. And they say, you know, come on. I remember when I was a missionary in Mexico that I was working on an advanced degree in missiology through Fuller Theological Seminary School of World Mission. And one of the books I read was, and I'll tell you who it was because, you know, it's nothing. He wrote the book. Paul K. Nitter, a Roman Catholic missiologist, who said, oh, come on. You know, we have to relate to all these religions of the world, and if we're going to be taken seriously, let's not push the literal, the bodily death and resurrection of Christ. That became, for Paul Nitter, a negotiable truth. We don't have to claim that part of the faith. I stand with the Apostle Paul. If Christ has not risen, our faith is vain, and we are of all people the most be pitied. If for this life only we have hope in Christ. So we have the witness of the myrrh-bearing women who said, we went, we saw, and we testify. We also then, not only with Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea and the myrrh-bearing women, we also have the witness of the angel. The angel was sitting on the stone. Aren't angels sent by God to be ministering spirits for us? Aren't they the ones who are supposed to be working? They're going here and there. They're ministers. They don't just sit. They're active. If they're any good for us, aren't they going to be doing something for us? The most beautiful picture you're going to see of an angel is that one sitting on the stone, because the work has been done. The stone is rolled away, not because Jesus couldn't get out. I mean, you know, he could hear, he could appear and disappear anywhere he wanted to, and he did that. The stone was rolled away so that we could see that he's not there, he's not dead. I'd like to quote that. It says in, I have it written here somewhere, Hebrews 1, verse 14. Are not angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Yes. Jesus didn't need that angel, but we do. The work is done. The battle has been fought. The war is over. There's peace. We have hope. And let us take courage. The Christian faith must take the form of courage. Let us go forth like Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, the myrrh-bearing women, and the angel, and proclaim that he is not here, but is risen, as he said. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Take it away, but I asked our choir director, Ranger Johnson, if he would please have the choir sing that prepario of the angel when he's sitting there on the stone.
When the wise men bearing women stood very early in the morning before the tomb.